I would ask you to stand as you are able. In reverence for God's holy word, if it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In the book of the prophet Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse, the word of the most holy God says this: "And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep.' For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those who, for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.' So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, 'Quiet, for this is holy, do not be grieved.' And all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions, to make great rejoicing, because they understood the words that were declared to them." And then in the Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse: "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love. Commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I'm really not sure how it happened, but Christians have a reputation for being a bunch of sourpusses. Now, obviously those people have never been here, because you couldn't characterize this as a frowning congregation by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, somewhere along the line, Christianity has lost some of its joy. Somehow we got kind of bogged down in debates over theology and who's in and who's out. And somehow we've gotten away from our roots, because our roots are in joy. God is a God of joy. Say that with me. God is a God of joy. God creates, and creation is such an act of joy. God commanded, didn't suggest, didn't offer up as a possibility, commanded that Israel celebrate 7 annual feast days. Celebration days. 7 of them. 4 in the spring, 3 in the fall. Times to come together as a people and enjoy celebrating. Part of what makes a nation is their celebrations. All coming together, because we're all so different, but we all come together with that one thing, the things that we celebrate. All right, in America, what do we celebrate that are distinctly American? The 4th of July. Memorial Day. Thanksgiving. Labor Day.
President's Day.
Mother's Day. Father's Day. What? Martin Luther King Day.
Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. Leave it to Jerry.
Super Bowl Sunday.
What?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday. Somebody had to say it. And I get that one. We come together, even though we are a people that are very diverse. Even in America, We become a nation, come together at our celebrations. And no matter where your ancestry came from, we celebrate the 4th of July. Now, the problem, of course, can be when it's just another day off and we forget why we're celebrating. Just another day off. But I try to remember and actually celebrate, as God intended Israel to celebrate, the things that are commemorated on those days. I will tell you right now that when a group of ragtag rebels took on the greatest power in the world at that time, America honestly should not exist. We shouldn't. Look at it any way you want to. They had us outmanned, outgunned. We declared war when we didn't have an army, a navy, a leader, or any money. We shouldn't exist. You know, the 4th of July ought to mean something to us. And we celebrate our Americanness. Well, God wanted Israel to celebrate who they were as his children. The shining light for the rest of the world. It's not that they were better or more loved. They were the example. They were supposed to show the rest of the world what it was like to follow God. And the first thing they did was they set up the celebrations. Because God is a God of joy. Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding feast. And let me tell you, they knew how to party for a wedding. 1 week-long celebration. A real celebration. A joyous time, the uniting of families, the beginning of a new life. They celebrated that for a whole week. It began with a parade. And Jesus' first miracle occurred in that setting. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel is intended to be in chronological order. Not all the Gospels are in chronological order, but Luke intended to lay out his story by chronological order. And the very first sermon Jesus preached was, "I have come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim the release of the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." In other words, folks, I got some good news. I got some good news. You notice he did not say, he was reading from Isaiah, but he didn't say anything about, "I am here to solve all our problems." Didn't say that. He didn't say, "I'm here to ship the Romans out of our land." He didn't say, "I am here to set up an economic system where everybody's got, you know, a nice middle class or above income." He didn't say any of that. He said, "I'm here with good news that you are free and you are favored, and it's just joy." In the scripture that we read from John, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." That your joy may be complete. We ought to be doing the happy dance. But you know, inside the church, as well as outside the church, the incidence of depression and the incidence of sadness and this oppressiveness is just as prevalent here as it is out in the world. Why is that? How could we go from a religion that is based on joy and creation and love? How can we go from that to where we are? I've been there. Oh yeah, been there. Been there, done that. T-shirt, mug. You know, the one, my favorite thing when I was a teenager, and I saved it for years and it's gone and I really miss it, was a little Ziggy. Y'all know Ziggy, the cartoon Ziggy? Well, Ziggy was sitting on the rock like the Thinker, you know, the great Rodin sculpture, the Thinker. And he's sitting there and carved on the rock, it says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, because we may not make it through today." And I love that thing. Don't worry about tomorrow. We may not make it through today. You know, Ziggy's always got kind of a little cloud over his head. And I lived that way for so long. I lived with that little cloud over my head for so long. Until I understood that joy and celebration are spiritual disciplines. Now, when we think of spiritual disciplines, what do we think of? Bible study. Prayer. Fasting. Fasting's not my favorite. I'm just saying.
That's a hell of
a The best thing about diabetes is I don't have to do that anymore. But did you ever think that being part of a celebration was a spiritual discipline? Celebrating, joyfulness, is just as much a spiritual discipline as fasting and prayer and Bible study and doing good works. All of those things are spiritual disciplines, but celebration is just as much of that. So if we're going to do it, then we have to approach it like training, not trying. Discipline is training, not trying. Say that with me. Discipline is training, not trying. The biggest problem we have is we try, but if all we're going to do is try, we'll give up. But if we're training, then we keep going. We keep going till we get there. So if we're going to train, then there's some things like training for physical activity. You have to give up certain things and you have to embrace certain things in order to train your body to do stuff, right? When the last time I exercised on a regular basis, I was in the military and had to. But I will tell you right now that I trained because it was survival. Celebration is a part of our, not just, you know, kind of a little bonus. It's part of our survival. Part of our spiritual survival is to, so we need to train for it. And we need to banish guilt. Guilt is of the devil. I can never say it enough. If I could just get everyone to understand that guilt is of the devil, God has no part of guilt. Now, conviction's a whole nother story. God will convict you. He will bring you to understand that things that you are doing are harming you and harming others. But conviction comes with the idea of change. Guilt is paralyzing. The devil is all about guilt. Guilt is unworthy. Guilt is can't get out of it. Unforgiven. If you are going to do, if you're going to train for celebration, the first thing you've got to do is every guilty thing that you feel, toss it out the window and embrace forgiveness. There is nothing anyone has ever done that God does not and cannot forgive. I've had so many people tell me, God just can't forgive me for that. What an arrogant statement. I can sin so much that God can't forgive me. Aren't I powerful? That's really what they're saying. But you are forgiven. Just accept it. God loves you and ain't nothing you can do about it. Just let him do it. He has already forgiven anything you've ever done. Just accept it. Accept the forgiveness. Throw out the guilt. Throw out worry. We talked about this. Throw out worry. It doesn't do you any good. And most of the stuff you worry about never happens anyway. And you wasted a good worry. Throw it out. Get rid of worry. Worry is, something bad's going to happen. Throw that out. And if you're going to think about the future, think of it with anticipation. Instead of thinking, I don't know what bad thing could happen tomorrow, think about, I just don't know what good thing might come tomorrow. It's retraining your thinking. You know, how many times has something wonderful just come out of the blue? More times than something bad has just come out of the blue, but you don't seem to remember it as well, do you? Throw away fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. Instead of fear, have hope. Have hope. Do we not have reason to hope? Part of the reason that people are unhappy is they do not understand that this is the day the Lord has made. The scripture says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in it. Now, the reason that we're not happy most of the time and that we don't have joy is we think that yesterday is the day God made. And then they're never going to be that good again. Anybody out there know who I'm talking about? You know, y'all are too young to know that. Y'all don't get that yet, but you will. We tend to think back on, you know, kind of the back in the day. And we miss certain things, like that was the day that God had made, but it's not going to be that good again. And we spend all our time mourning what was instead of this day celebrating what we have. And just as bad is those that put off living until tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day the Lord has made, and tomorrow I will be happy because tomorrow I'm going to have this, and tomorrow that will be done, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and may not be tomorrow. This is all we've got. This moment right now is all we're guaranteed. This moment, right now, enjoy it. This moment, right now, I am with the people that I love most in this world. This moment, right now, I get to preach, which is my reason for living. This moment, right now, I can feel the carpet under my feet. This moment right now, I'm still upright. This moment right now, air is going in and out of my lungs and it feels great. this moment right now is so much reason to celebrate. This is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Don't worry about what's coming tomorrow, be it good or be it ill. Don't put off living for the good, and don't worry about what could possibly happen. Don't live in the past. Our memories should give us joy, but not be where we try to stay. You can't go back there. And it's just as well, because chances are it's not as good as you remember it anyway. What if today we're just grateful for everything? What if today let's just be grateful for everything? Celebration is a spiritual discipline, and just like you need someone to help you learn how to study the Bible, and just like you have mentors that you look up to that teach you to pray, and just like you have mentors that show you how to do other spiritual things, you need a mentor for joy. You cannot eliminate being around all the sourpusses in the world, because you would probably have a very, very small acquaintance. But you need to be deliberate in being with somebody who can teach you how to be joyful, particularly if you're joy challenged. Some people are joy challenged. Some people can find the cloud in every silver lining. You know, like the old story about the man that was so negative about everything, and his friend bought a new hunting dog, taught him how to retrieve and all of this, and it was an amazing hunting dog. So he took him out to show him his amazing hunting dog, and he went out there and shot the duck, and the dog walked on top of the water, got the duck, brought it back. And he said, isn't that, and turned to his friend and said, isn't that amazing? And the friend said, dog can't swim, can he? Some people are joy challenged. If you're one of those people, then find somebody. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Amen. Amen.
You can laugh yourself well. People have done it. If you want the scientific explanation, then laughter increases the endorphins in your brain that make you feel good. And let me give you just one thing, which is not just because I don't watch it, but folks, get away from that tube. It is depressing you. Television will depress you. I realize that, you know, when you get home and you just want to relax and you've got your favorite shows, try to find some that are funny. Because folks, the news will depress you. I have a friend that watched CNN, that's the only thing that was ever on, and finally he just got so depressed, it was just like, dude, turn off the TV. Live. Because it will depress you. So, you know, take some time off from that thing, and if you're going to watch it, please watch things that make you laugh. Of course, got to watch some of those, but you know what I mean. Let's choose joy, because it is a choice. Joy is a choice. Choose it. Say, today I choose joy. And you may feel like you're just sipping sewage. You may feel just as low, but just knowing that you have the ability to make the choice makes a difference. Don't give in to it. Choose joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Lynn Sweet, fabulous preacher. Fabulous, fabulous preacher, was telling the story of his mother's final hours. And she was at the hospital in the emergency room. They knew that she was passing. She couldn't remember her son's name. She didn't know a lot of things, but when Lynn leaned over to her and said, "The joy of the Lord," she answered, "is my strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you've got joy, you can go through any hard time. It doesn't mean, folks, that life is ever going to be easy. Let me dispel this myth right now. Life will never get easier. But you can get stronger. When I was in basic training the very first day, they got me up at the ungodly hour of 4:30, took me outside in the Texas heat in the dark, and made me run a quarter of a mile. I am sure that's not in God's plan anywhere. By the time basic training was over, I was running that mile and a half in the morning, and it didn't hurt me anymore. That first quarter mile, I thought I was gonna die. Lift right. I'd had nightmares about that. And then, just really a few weeks later, I'm running a mile and a half. And I could do it. It was still the same feet on the same track, but folks, I got stronger. Although I did make a pledge to God, which I have since kept, which said that I will never do that again unless being chased by a bull. But you get stronger if you choose joy and don't give up. You get stronger and stronger and stronger. And no matter what happens, the devil can't have your joy. So are you going to choose joy? If you're going to choose joy, say, "I choose joy."
I choose joy.
Say it like you mean it. Amen. I don't know what John just said, and I don't want to know.